Hi, everyone. Welcome to another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson, and a few months ago, I had the privilege of traveling to Atlanta with my co-host, Dr. Meg Meeker. Over the 3 days we were there, we interviewed several amazing authors and speakers on a variety of topics. The show floor was loud, and you may hear some background noise, but the content is strong, and I'm excited to share these great interviews with you over the next few months. So here now is the beginning of our interview from the show floor of the International Christian Retail Show in Atlanta, Georgia, on today's edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. We are at ICRS today with, Dr. Meg. Our director, Mike Segovia, has been freaking out over this interview.
Yes, he has.
For a month. He keeps running into my office being like, Ryan.
And we're blowing his cover.
The straw is coming.
Because one of his heroes is here today.
He's still, look at the grin.
Yes, I know.
Yeah. Yeah, turn a little red. Daryl Strawberry, Tracy are here today talking about their book, The Imperfect Marriage. I love this part too, because in today's day, the subtitle, Help for Those Who Think It's Over. Yesterday, I found out a friend of mine's husband left her. Mm. Yesterday. My parents didn't grow up like this. You know, I watched my parents grow up, and their large group of friends, they had one divorce over their entire group of friends' lives. And for me and my friends and my wife, this is going on every day. And so first, thank you for writing this book.
Yes.
Really, really do appreciate it.
It's our honor.
And thank you for coming in and talking to us about it.
Our honor. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, we really appreciate it. And we just thank God for it, really, because it's really about reaching back and what we have lost and what's important. I think family values have been lost. I think marriage and relationships have been lost. I think we've been so much deceived by the enemy of having things and making yourself more important than we ought to make ourselves. It's not important to be important. And we need to get back to the principles. I think the principles have been lost. I think in my first two marriages, I was more concerned about lifestyle of who I was, the fame and the fortune, instead of what was really important. And I came into this relationship with the same kind of attitude. But I had a wife that, really put her values in the principles of God's way. It touched home inside of me because I really need to see that. I really need to see what that looks like. And I think a lot of times we don't see what that looks like anymore in the churches. It's just like whatever, whatever happens, happens. And no, that's not true. That's when God brings us together for a reason. He brings two together to be one.
Yes.
And I think we have gotten away from putting God as the middle of keeping those two together and bringing them one so he can really guide you down the blueprint of how to live abundant life. I think a lot of us look at abundant life as stuff.
Yeah.
I think we got the wrong concept of what abundant life is. Abundant life, for us, me and Tracy, is wholeness, happiness, free inside, with wonderful children, 9 children together, blended family, and learning to live.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
accepting that.
Whose idea was the book? Who woke up one morning and said, hey, we should write a book? Was Tracy?
Well, actually, people started to ask us, where is your book? Do you have a book on marriage? Because God has sent us out, and we've been preaching in different places, and just individuals coming to us, starting to hear the story and knowing where we came from. We came from addictions. We came from adulteries. We came from broken places. Individuals suffering with physical abuse and how they grew up as children and sexual abuse and all of these different elements that we find to be the problems within marriage. So the imperfections within our hearts that sin has affected us on the inside, the imperfections, moldings, different things that we've embraced into our lives, bad choices that we've made, and people just hearing our story and saying, how did you overcome? How did you get free? And with 2 broken marriages for each one of us, we had to ask ourselves the question, what happened here? Happened here? And the journey in The Imperfect Marriage in the book is that journey of answering that question. What happened? Why is the divorce rate so high? Why did we get divorced? Divorce produces broken people. It produces broken children, broken families, broken hearts, broken generations. We've got to get this thing called marriage right and get it God-centered again.
So when you came into your marriage, your current marriage, and you said you've been married about 8 years, had you figured those things out before you married one another? Daryl's laughing. Or you figured them out together.
It was a big part of our journey, coming together and learning to figure marriage out. Because what I realized more than anything, I think what we both realized, and we wrote a chapter in the book, it has to be a me before it's a we. Mm. A me has to come into wholeness. A me has to come into righteousness before there's a we. I think all of us walk in and we want this we, big, happy, go lucky family and have this. And then all of a sudden we forget all this extra luggage.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That
I
from
had.
From our past.
That
mm-hmm.
from my past. This is my yes. past. You know, I'm bringing this luggage in and she's got some past luggage in. And guess what happens? We start pointing fingers at each other and saying, well, you're the problem and you're the problem. And we're never looking at our own self.
Sure.
We're never looking at the real issue here. The real root issue is really my own baggage that I haven't dealt with. Mm-hmm. And I need to clean my side of the street up first. And I think that's what happened when me and Tracy came together. We realized that it had to be a me first. She was fixed. She got herself fixed first before me. I was still on a trip somewhere. Yeah.
So what kind of, if I can ask, issues were central to your marriage that were real roadblocks to your a healthy marriage?
Yeah, you mentioned baggage. What kind of household did you grow up in, Tracy? What was your parents' marriage like?
I grew up in a great household. Mm-hmm. So the road that I chose later on was very confusing to me. It didn't match up with my upbringing. So that's, and there is, for a parent out there who blames themselves for everything, my child has gone astray and I raised them right, what happened to them, we have free will and we make our own choices,
right.
And
yes.
that's what happened
and
to me.
And parents can feel extreme guilt over
that.
Andrew Palau, Luis Palau, the famous evangelist, his son has a book called The Secret Life of a Fool.
Mm.
He didn't come to the Lord till 27.
Mm-hmm.
His dad's traveling the world leading millions to the Lord, and Andrew
yes.
was nuts. But he said it wasn't my parents.
Correct.
This
it
was
wasn't
me.
My parents either. Mm. It wasn't my upbringing. It wasn't my molding. It wasn't my making. It was my choices. It was emptiness. It was chasing after something that I didn't understand that only Christ could fill me with.
Sure.
It was designing my own life, my own vision of happiness, my own vision of what marriage would be, not how God designed it in His Word in the Bible.
Yeah.
And I got lost. You know, I was a woman that was running around and sleeping around and chasing excitement and got caught in addiction, lost her children from addiction.
Wow.
What happens to a woman like me who's raised in a beautiful family?
Wow.
Completely separated from Christ, not living my life with a thought of God at all. And that's what happens. Mm. But the beautiful journey in this book is that could God really restore a woman like me? And you were talking about those issues, Meg. You know, could God really restore a woman like me, the first part of the book? Could I really ever find freedom in myself?
Mm.
Could I ever be free? And the thought that I could ever be free within myself, number one,
wow.
and experience a God-centered, loving, powerful, strong, purposeful marriage was only a dream
wow,
to me.
That's amazing.
How did that transition come about? What is your testimony, in other words? How'd you get from there to here?
Through my addiction and when I had to sign over custody of my children, I just looked up.
What was that day like?
It was horrible. You can't even describe it. And it's still a decision in my heart that will never be right.
Mm.
But it was the only right decision at the time. But it
sure.
will never settle right in my soul. The difference now, though, Ryan, is that does not hinder my destiny. It's no longer
exactly.
a stumbling block for me
yep.
because the power of the Holy Spirit has come in and healed me from the inside out, my relationship with my children. And coming together in the power of Christ. But living in that brokenness, addiction, anger, fear, I came to God angry. I came to God bitter. And God can handle your anger. He can handle your bitterness. I was one of those people, where were you, God? And
right.
Christians
yeah.
would be telling me about the love of God. But where were you when?
Yeah.
And why this and why that? So I battled with God. But
sure.
I held on to Him and I kept on going.
Oh, that's
so
fantastic.
How did you come to Him?
I was led to Him by a Christian woman. Praise God for people who preach the gospel. Don't ever get discouraged. Over and over and over again, people tried to witness to me, and this beautiful woman came to me who came from a life of addiction and struggle, and she was just like me. And she introduced me to Jesus Christ.
Mm.
And she talked about addiction, sleeping around, and the love of God all in the same sentence. And I was taken back. I said, you could really do that?
Wow.
You know, and she invited me to...
That's what He does best,
yes,
doesn't He?
That's right.
Wraps you in His grace
mm-hmm.
when you don't understand Him. And if you will just keep going with Him and just don't stop. He will show himself to you. He is who he says he is. He does what he says he's going to do. He's incredible and he's amazing, but you will never know that if you quit or if you never step in and allow him to deal with your anger, to deal with your bitterness and your brokenness. Come to him with everything. He is there with open arms to embrace it and take it away from you and transform you from the inside out to heal you, forgive you, change you, and transform you and empower you.
Oh, man. Daryl, what was your childhood like? Well, we're talking before air.
Yeah,
you grew up in Crenshaw.
Crenshaw, yeah. My childhood
was a Californian. I know what that means, but for the rest of the country.
they don't know.
They don't have no idea, but... my childhood was a little bit different. Yeah. I was in a very dysfunctional situation. My dad was raised an alcoholic, so he really wasn't really there in our lives and stuff. And you know, he beat us and told us we'd never amount to nothing. Then I went on into sports and, you know, became a baseball player and became, I guess, in a sense, became important to everybody else.
Right.
But they didn't really understand me because I didn't understand me because I had all these issues inside of me.
Sure.
Because I was told I was nothing, so I believed it when I was hitting grand slams and winning championships and all these things. And I always tell people, you know, it's like I was living behind these gated communities on these big country clubs and $2 million homes and got secret lives, living a lie, you know. And not only me living there, but people living around me are living the same way, you know, and hurting and could never get free. But the cover-up was being able to have stuff to cover you up of who you really are.
Were you ever happy?
No, I was never happy. I mean,
really?
I love playing baseball. Don't ever get me wrong about that. I love going out playing baseball and winning. I wasn't happy with the lifestyle. I wasn't happy with the money. I wasn't happy with the stuff because it was just all there. It kept me numb. It kept me from being...
You're just masking the pain.
Yeah, it doesn't work.
You're running from a dad that said you're never going to amount to anything. You get told that enough times, and even when you amount to something amazing... You still have that voice in your head.
Well, it's always there. It's always there until you come to a place in understanding getting free. So I tried everything. You know, I tried cars. I tried women. I tried drugs. I tried alcohol. I tried everything to escape.
Yeah.
To escape me so I wouldn't have to look at me.
Sure. And how old were you when you got to the majors?
I was 21 when I got to the majors.
21?
Yes.
You're a kid.
Yeah.
21
you're
is
a kid.
Young.
I mean, what do you know at 21? Not much.
And at 21, you get a big contract.
You don't
and you're
know a lot.
Superstar.
You don't know a lot. Playing
sorry,
in New York City.
Sorry, everybody who's
New
21
York City,
out there.
My
but
goodness.
Yeah,
the cards were stacked
true.
Against you.
Yes.
All the way across the coast in New York, coming from California. All the money, all the stuff going on.
Well, all the odds against you, you know, with the fame and the fortune.
Yeah.
It's not a reality of real life.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's more of a fantasy world.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, a lot of people say, well, I would love to live that fantasy world. But you never know where that fantasy world will take you.
Sure.
You know, and we have to be extremely careful about, you know, what we wish upon ourselves sometimes and think, well, this is great. And, well, it looks great from a distance. It looks great from the outlook of everybody looking and cheering and applauding and because you're playing well.
Right.
But, you know, when I took the uniform off, I used to ask myself, who am I?
Mm-hmm. Did you feel kind of crazy in a way? Because here you have all of this stuff. You're supposed to feel good. From the outside, your life looks good. And yet it's not working for you. And I could have that sense that, you know, what's wrong with me? It's supposed to work. It's supposed to work. And if it's not working, it's not that. It must be me. Did you feel that it somehow spiraled you downward, or did that not happen?
No, that didn't happen. I mean, I felt good about what I can do as a player. I was very confident and believing in what I was doing out there when I was out there. Nobody could stop me when I was in that field. But it was about, how do I live?
Right.
Where does living fall into play for your life? Because everybody tells you yes. Nobody says no. So it's a different ball game when you're on that side of the field because no one is going to tell you you shouldn't do that.
Exactly.
No one's going to tell you, well, you know you got to play tomorrow. You need to go and get rest.
Mm.
Instead, they're like, well, you can do whatever you want. You know,
right.
You're the man. You know, I hung out all night. I went to clubs all night. I drank all night. And I got to play the next day. But I knew I could take amphetamines the next day to kick me in, to give me a kickstart. So, I mean, the lifestyle becomes a program. And you program into the lifestyle.
Mm.
I'm no different than anyone else. Eventually, it's going to spiral down. And for me, that's what happened. It spiraled out of control until I finally got to a place where, you know, I was broken enough and I realized that I got to do something different. I got to do something different here.
When was that, Daryl?
It was about 11 years ago.
Wow.
I mean, I got saved in 91. I went to a Morris Cirillo conference and got saved. But I didn't get discipled. I got saved. I tell people that all the time. It's so important to understand. Just getting saved doesn't mean, you know,
it doesn't
over.
Mean your life has changed.
Yeah, correct. I mean, you have a radical experience with God. I'm saying you feel great for 3 months, and then what happens? I'm not a disciple, so I go back to the familiar.
Didn't fill yourself up. You got rid of a bunch of stuff. Yes. Then you got an empty vessel.
Right.
What happens?
So I got to go right back to the familiar. So, and about 11 years ago, I realized more than anything in my life that my life had to become different. And I was like, you know, asking God, what is it? And I had to go through a whole stripping. But I remember God clearly saying to me, I need you to understand what Psalms 46:10 means. Be still and know that I'm God. Mm. And he was like, made it clear to me, you need to be still. Do you understand the still part? I think people don't understand that part when he says, be still and know that I'm God. He means be still and come and know that I'm God and let me equip you to who I've created you to be. And when I understood that, I started falling into that line with God and started walking into that pattern and understanding that he's God and I need to hear his voice. Because either you're listening to God's voice or you listen to the enemy's voice.
Yeah.
It's either way. You know, people say, well, it ain't no devil. Well, keep listening to him and keep seeing where your life will continue to go. And I think we miss a lot of that. And we grew up with, me and Tracy know family values, and we know the importance of that. We know what that's all about and how to live that. You know, we didn't know then. It was with us, but we just never applied it to our life. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we apply it to our life today because we want our kids to grow up and be able to see the fruit. We don't have to preach it to them.
Yeah.
We want them to be able to see what we live like.
Yeah. When you got married, were you afraid at any time that it would end in divorce again? And you'd been through divorce a couple times and troubles come. Were you afraid that was where it was going to go? What saved you from a divorce this time around? What was the difference?
Christ.
Really?
Yes, literally, because it was the first time both of us surrendered and put Christ in the center. There's a whole chapter in there devoted to the spouse in waiting, because I came on board with Christ, walking with Christ, and Daryl was not on board. And many marriages are like that. One is living right, walking right, and the other one is not. There's a whole chapter in there on how to handle that and how to deal with that and not lose yourself while the other person is lost. Mm-hmm. And we were terrified because we found ourselves with the same behaviors. Our character was the same. It was broken. It was defective. Our hearts were unhealed. We were unforgiven. We were trying to live marriage apart from God.
Right.
Trying to live it in our own way, our own design, our own passions, our own ways. It doesn't work like that. So when things really get tough, your own willpower will never be enough. Mm. Your own human love will never be enough because it's based on feelings and it's fickle. It will come and go, and it wants to come and go. But when we got Christ-centered, and we learned there's many, many practical steps through this book, The Imperfect Marriage, that we need to look, because we have to apply this every day, being mindful of our spouse, making a commitment to Jesus Christ first, that we are going to live for Christ. We're going to be married for Christ. We're going to raise our children up in Christ right from where we're at, because we blew it when they were little.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But Christ meets you right where you're at. And the practical ways, forgiving each other, rebuilding trust. There's a whole chapter devoted to that, because forgiveness is not our biggest culprit. Rebuilding trust is.
Right.
Okay, people struggle with that.
Tracy, what would you say to the spouse out there, and I often hear from the women, just because I probably talk to them more, who said, you know, I'm in a marriage. I have a deep love for the Lord. I want to go in this direction. Here's what I believe is right. But my husband just won't listen. He doesn't want anything to do with it. What do you do?
Well, there's a difference between whether or not they're a godly man and they're living right and he's the head of the household. If you have an idea that you're not agreeing upon, that's one thing. What Daryl and I do, and that happens. That happens in healthy marriages. What we do is we come together. We pull down all the facts. We pray about it, number one. This is where God in the center comes in pretty quickly as well. You write down, if I pursue this, why are we pursuing it? Is it a together thing? What are the repercussions if we do this? What is the turnout? What is the point of this whole thing? I let my husband lead, because I know today he is a man of God and he is not going to try to sabotage this family or make a decision that goes against the family that's going to hurt us.
That must be very hard for you, because I'd imagine somewhere in your history you shuddered at the idea of a man leading, because maybe there were males you couldn't trust.
Very much so.
And that's a real hard issue for a lot of women.
Oh, yeah, to let go of that.
Yes, and to trust a man to not burn you.
Yes. Yeah. Well, and I was a single mom for a long time. So when Daryl and I came together, this is in the book as well, those deep-rooted issues that you don't realize affect your marriage. You know, I paid my own bills. I raised the family. And I just had it in my mind. I told him, I said, I'll love you, but you're not going to come in here and rule this household. I know how to raise my kids. I know how to pay the bills.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love you, but I don't need you. And you need to make sure you understand that. And the way I spoke to my husband, very disrespectful. I did not honor him. I did not allow him to take his place in the household. But when we learn that word submission, the way Jesus says, it's a beautiful word. It is not a nasty word, and it's not a destructive word, and it's not a demeaning word the way society has painted it.
It really means giving up having your own way.
Yes, on both sides.
On both sides. When you don't have to have your own way, you submit.
Yes.
Well, it's a gift when you understand. And that's what I think a lot of people misunderstand, that salvation is a free gift, and it brings you into a righteousness and a holiness and an understanding that I don't have to be in control all the time. And when you can understand that you don't have to be in control and you can just let go and let your guards down, it brings about a peace about understanding that in your family and how marriage and how your family life can work together and work together for the good, because you have to put scriptures in there. And, you know, that's what Romans 8:28 talks about. All things work together for the good of them who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose.
Sure.
You know, so we don't know the scripture. So that's why we not living according to what it says. You know, I think that's what people miss, those points.
Daryl and Tracy, we're getting the high sign. You've got so many places to go here. We've got about 2.5 minutes left. For the couple that's struggling right now, they're in the middle of an imperfect marriage. Mm-hmm. They feel like they think it's over. What's the one thing you can say to get them to hang on long enough to let God work the miracle in their lives?
There's not one thing. It has to, you surrender to Christ. Mm-hmm. Get Christ-centered. Understand the blueprint of marriage and what that's like. Understand your roles. Mm-hmm. Begin to become mindful of one another. Surrender to the process. And all of this is in the book. We take couples step by step. We share our stories about addiction, adultery, financial ruin, how you get through these things. Examine yourself. Yeah. Allow God to take a look at you and to deal with you and get on the same page. Don't quit, but you both have to surrender to God and put him first.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would say to them, fight for your marriage. They fight for everything mm-hmm. else. You fight over everything else, but you won't fight for your marriage.
Oh.
And I think people need to dig into that more than anything. You want to fight about the kids. You want to fight about money. You want to fight about this. Well, fight about why you two should stay together.
Yeah.
Put some real guts in there and get down there and get dirty and say, you know what? God created this. This can work. We need to fight for it.
Oh, I love it. Thank you guys so much for being here. We so appreciate it.
Thank you. The book is The Imperfect Marriage, Help for Those Who Think It's Over. Daryl and Tracy Strawberry, it's been great getting to know you.
Next time I want to talk about the ministry and the recovery centers you're putting up. I mean, it's so fascinating, so I'm going to call you again.
All right, it sounds great. Thank you.
God bless. Thank you.
God bless you guys. All right.
Oh, what a great program we've enjoyed here today on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson, and the interview you just heard was from the retail show floor of ICRS in Atlanta, Georgia, from just a few months ago. If you'd like more information about our guest today or the Ministry of Family Talk, visit our website, drjamesdobson.org, or call us at 877-732-6825. This is Ryan Dobson saying God bless, thanks for joining us today, and we'll see you next time for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not affiliated with Focus on the Family.
Hello, everyone. I'm Ryan Dobson, and I have some very exciting news to share with you today. Some good friends of Family Talk have stepped forward with a very generous matching grant that doubles every gift we receive from you this month. That means your donation will reach twice as many families and have twice the impact for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now is a vital time for the Ministry of Family Talk, as the money we receive before the end of the year sets the stage for what we can do next year. We plan the entire year based on the donations that come in from now through December 31st, and we would love to be able to expand our reach to more families than ever in the upcoming 2015 year. So will you give today? You can donate online at drjamesdobson.org or by calling us at 877-732-6825.
Hello, everyone. This is James Dobson with Family Talk, and I have a very special offer for all of you in a brand new collection of 8 DVDs titled Building a Family Legacy. I tackle common parenting questions and offer advice and encouragement based on the firm foundation of biblical principles. The Building a Family Legacy 8 DVD series is my gift to you to say thank you for your suggested donation of $50 or more. Now, I will accept no royalty or any portion of this donation. Every dollar will go to help support Family Talk. Request your copy by visiting drjamesdobson.org or call us at 877-732-6825. And thank you for your continued support and for listening to Family Talk.